This is a good day. It's a good day to be in the house of God. It's a good day to be together, worshiping Him. If you'll turn in your Bibles, if you have your Bible with you, or your iPad or your phone, Acts chapter 6, verse 4. My PowerPoint didn't work this morning. I saved it in a format that wouldn't fit on these screens. I don't know, computers, it's no fault of the owners, right? I used to have a computer friend. He'd always, no matter what I brought to him, he had one answer: user error. It's not my error. Can't blame me. I thought I made a mistake one time, but I was wrong. I didn't. But just simply the words in chapter 6, verse 4, in the book of Acts, if you know the story, you're remembering Day of Pentecost has passed. Last week, PJ was talking about the being a powerful witness, and that it's ordinary men and women. It's men who women who met God and knew God, and they shared their testimony, and they were testifying, and they were sharing the good news. Well, this is chapter 6, and the church was growing and exploding, and people were being added to the church, and problems arose, as they do when you have church. Don't you just love church? There's never not a problem. There's always some good things coming on. But if you get people together, you got problems, but it's a good problem. And so the Jewish families weren't being taken, widows weren't being taken care of, and the Greek background families, and there was a division, there was trouble, and they were trying to work it out. Good problems to have to deal with stuff. If you have no people, then that's the worst problem. So they said these words in chapter 6. They said, find good men, full of the Holy Spirit, full of the truth, and let them serve, and let them organize, and let them help. Let them deacon. Deacons must deek and serve the church. And but they said these words. But we, talking about the apostles, the disciples, the elders at that time, will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And just that line, we could go on and read much, but just that line. This morning I want to talk to you about the priority of praying together, the priority of being together and praying. There's so many verses we could look at, but I'm coming at it from my own angle this morning. And it's one of those subjects. As soon as I start talking about prayer, everybody goes to sleep. I feel the devil attack. It's like kids are noisier than usual. It's like there's just this whole subject. But here, this is how I wanted to start it this morning. Imagine there's the $60 million lottery's going to happen tomorrow. And I know the winning number. Think of that. $60 million, what that might do for you. And I have the number. I went into the future and I came back. And I have the winning number. And I'm willing to share it. You think people might be interested? You think somebody might say, hey, tell me about that. I'd like to know what that number is. Well, I've got a secret this morning. The most powerful, amazing gift of God, the most precious thing that there is in the whole world that God has given to us, I know that secret. And it's prayer. Hallelujah. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Prayer. It's a gift from God. It's God's plan. It's God's purpose. It's God's amazing gift to us that we can pray. Pray together. Pray on our own. Pray in the mountains. Pray in the fields. Pray in church. We can cry out in our hearts. God has given us this amazing gift called prayer. And the thing that And if it sounds like I'm angry today, I am. But not with you. I'm mad at the devil, and I'm mad at myself, and I'm mad at how little we use this amazing gift of prayer that God's given to us. How little we exercise it. How little we take advantage of heaven that's available to us through prayer. And so many times I meet with people this week. I've met with people all the time over my life. They want anointing. They want power. They want the presence of God. They want that next amazing thing. And I want to tell you something this morning. Prayer is more precious and more important than power. Prayer is more important than anointing. Prayer is more important than a feeling that you might have. The devil's not afraid of anointing. He's not afraid of power. He's not afraid of your diploma or your age. He's not afraid of your background. He's not afraid of who you are. He's not afraid. He's not moved by it. What puts the fear of God into the enemy is prayer. You know why? Because when we pray, God shows up. God gets involved. And it's like, you know, we talk about the importance of marriage. We talk about all these important things. And the enemy attacks every one of them. How do you know something is so precious to God? The enemy attacks it. The flesh hates it. Unless you practice, unless you exercise that muscle of prayer, unless you discipline yourself, I'm talking to me. I'm shouting at me this morning. Unless you challenge yourself, the flesh is not interested. And I thank God for the 30-day shred we did going through the Bible. And I just love the testimonies of those who joined and did part and read through the New Testament and reading through it even now, going through. It's amazing how you can just read through the Word of God. But if I could put out one challenge to you this morning, would you listen to this verse where they said, we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the Word. Would you just allow the Holy Spirit to just kind of bring that to your spirit this morning? Prayer. The whole point of prayer. Only prayer could defeat the devil. You know, power and anointing didn't keep the disciples out of jail. In fact, it got them in jail. Power and anointing and the presence of God didn't exclude them from suffering. It didn't exclude them from battles. It didn't. But prayer could go into prison with them. Prayer could go into every circumstance with them. Prayer could bring God into everything. And prayer could keep them in the right place with God, no matter what they were facing. So I'm trying to say this morning, prayer is important. Pray. Pray. Pray in every circumstance, and I'll get to that. Prayer is more important than power, more important than anointing. You know, the only thing that the apostles asked Jesus to teach them was how to pray. They never asked him how to do miracles. They never asked him how to build a church. They never asked him how to get a team together. All those things are important. Paul and different ones laid out principles for the church and for life and laying it out. They asked him, after 3 years of walking around with Jesus, 3 years of living with him, watching his life, seeing what was going on, seeing and feeling and being part of everything in his life, what did they ask him? They said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. That's what they got from his life. So the first point I have is that you don't know them because they're not going up there anymore, so I can make them all up. I love that. I love that freedom. But it's the prominence of prayer, the place of prayer, and the power of prayer. That's my points this morning. But the prominence, the importance of prayer. I'm going to start with the apostles. This is my text. We will devote ourselves. What does devoting mean? It means to give over to something, to focus on something or someone, almost exclusively. So here's the question. Am I devoted to prayer? Am I given over to it? Am I focused on it almost exclusively? That question bounces pretty hard back to me. Are we devoted to prayer? What are you devoted to? What am I devoted to? Somehow the apostles understood the importance of dedicating themselves to prayer. The King James used the word, we will be steadfast in prayer. I like that word. We're singing about the steadfastness of God. We love it when it's about God. Steadfast. But are we steadfast in prayer? Are we devoted to prayer? Are we able to muscle up when it comes to prayer? Are we able to pray an hour, as Jesus said to his disciples? Couldn't you not watch and pray for an hour? You know, I feel for those guys. It's like, prayer is the most precious gift. And then it's like so many times we just set it there and we don't take advantage of it. We don't use it. So the apostles were devoted and they were given over to it. You can read about their lives. You know, I've used this example before, but you know, I always wanted to be able to play the piano. Not always, I guess, because I took lessons for 4 years and I never learned one thing, but in my mind I wanted to. I wanted, you know, so I remember talking to Lori. She's a pianist, played her whole life. I said, man, I want to play the piano. I wish I could play the piano like you. And she says, yeah, you can. Take lessons for 11 years and practice for your whole life. And I'm like, okay, I guess I don't really want to play the piano. It's just an idea. It's just a thought. That's dedication. That's steadfastness. That is devotion to something. And, you know, I trust you're devoted to many things. There's things that you go through seasons you get devoted to. You almost exclusively get devoted to someone, something. Sometimes it's not so good. Sometimes it's God's plan and God's will. But to make a decision to be steadfast in prayer. Many times we need each other to encourage each other in prayer. That's why we have a week of fasting and prayer. It's why we have prayer meetings before church. That's why we do it at Life Group. It's why we encourage prayer, because we often can do it together better. That's why husbands and wives need to pray every day. Every day. You need to be steadfast in it, not just when you feel like it, not just when things are going well. Steadfast. Give ourselves, devote ourselves to prayer. So the apostles were good at it. Jesus was even better. Jesus is our best example for everything. And I'm sorry, I'm going to read a couple of verses. And if they get up, sorry, Sherry, I had them all beautiful. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. I'll give you a hint. It says, in the days of his flesh, in Jesus' flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. I love that verse. These verses are talking about Jesus. This is what got me this week. If Jesus needs to pray, Lenny needs to pray. And I can tell you, I've been praying this week because I knew I was preaching this. I was going to get tested. I prayed for every one of you that I could think of. It came to mind. I prayed for this day. I prayed for this service. I was up this morning at 5 o'clock. I was praying because I knew I was going to mention a couple of these things. I had to be on top of this thing. But God has been speaking to us about prayer. Lori and I, we've prayed together many times. I was going to say many times. We prayed together our whole life, many times better than other times. Many times you just feel like, Lori will say, she'll remind me, let's pray. You know, it's like, okay, let's eat our spaghetti. Let's eat our vegetables. It's and there's times when we get a hold of one another and we pray. And you're going through things in family and life and children and birth and death and situations. And there's times when it's not a burden at all. It's like, this is life and death. This is breath to us as Christians, breathing. And praying is the same thing. We are calling out to God. Jesus says, it says about Jesus, that's why these verses, I picked them because they helped me. They made me happy. Jesus prayed with loud crying and with tears. Just let that sink in. Jesus talking to his Father. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized, and while he was praying, heaven was opened. So they're being baptized in the Jordan, and Jesus comes, and you know the whole story, and John's hesitant, and Jesus says, no, I need to be, and he's baptized. And then as he is praying, so it's just this picture of him in the water or just coming out, and heaven's opened, and Jesus is praying. We don't know what it looked like, but man, he was praying. I love that. I love that he prayed. He prayed with tears. He prayed with a loud voice. He prayed when he was baptized. Matthew 14, verse 23, after he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. There's another picture of on the mountain, alone. And I can remember when we were in Israel a few years ago with the elders from Pretoria, and we were already living here, and we flew back, and we were with RT, and we're up on the mountain overlooking the Sea of Galilee, and it's the place where they could see the disciples straining at the oars, and it's the whole, I mean, you're just sitting there, it's like these scriptures are, and it's like this picture of Jesus alone on the mountain. It's like we need to pray alone on a mountain at times. And God will put you on a mountain and put you alone in situations where you have nothing but prayer. But it's his gift to us. Mark 6, verse 46. After bidding them farewell, he left for the mountain to pray. There he goes again. Luke 6, 12. It was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer. I was like, oh, man. The whole night. When we were in Tanzania, Tanzanians know how to pray all night. They used to do it at the Bible school. I taught Bible school, and our house was right up above the chapel of the Bible school, and the sound would come up all night until I'm like, will you just go to bed? The old sinner heart. My problem was that I had to teach the next day, and they'd all be sleeping in class. So I was like, but I guess it's okay to pray. No, but Jesus prayed all night. Let it challenge you. Let someone in this place take a 30-day shred on the Bible and let somebody take an all-night prayer meeting up from what Jesus did. He prayed all night. He prayed alone. He prayed on the mountain. He prayed when he was baptized. He cried out with tears. He wept before God. Mark 1:35 says, early in the morning when it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Another picture of just rising before everyone else, getting alone, getting outside. And Luke 5, verse 16, I could go on and on, but it says Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness to pray. All those verses, to me, had just anointing on them, speaking to me about my prayer life, about things that I can do to improve my prayer life. My need for prayer. And so the apostles devoted themselves. They were committed to it. Jesus lived a lifetime of it. As I said, they asked him that one question, teach us how to pray. And then the early church, and you know that verse in the, I'm skipping a whole bunch of stuff here, but the early church in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So the Bible is descriptive, but it's also prescriptive. It's telling us what they did, but it's also giving us an example of what we should do. So I'm calling it all-day prayer right now. Nobody's leaving for 24 hours and we're praying. No. I can feel the stones coming. It's like, pray. God, help us to pray. Make it a priority. Make it the first thing that comes out of our lips. You know, I don't know if I'll get to all this stuff. Let's go to number two, the place of prayer. When's the right time to pray? So first of all, it's important. When's the right time? All the time. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, in everything by prayer let your requests be known. In everything. I could take you to many verses. Pray without, pray. Be in an attitude of prayer. Be in an attitude of talk. What is prayer? It's talking to God. It's being in relationship with him and setting aside a time, set aside a moment. It can be a ghost of a whisper of a prayer. It can be a loud crying out. It can be a quiet time. It can be an hour. It can be all night. It can be a seeking and supplicating and praying and seeking God with all your heart. It's always the right time and place to pray. Pray first. Pray. Let prayer be your first reaction. And I'm not going to tell you my bad examples. I'll only tell you my good examples. But I was very happy three times in my life that the first words that came out of my life was Jesus. One is a plane crash. One is when I witnessed a little girl at our church in Pretoria run over right in front of me. And one was the other time. There's many times, but the other time was Melanie driving on Queen Elizabeth II over here. It's not her fault. and we were taken off the highway. So in one moment, we're talking about the Holy Spirit and how we need him in the church, and then I hear Melanie say, "What's she doing?" And then all hell broke loose, and we were hit from behind, and all I can remember saying is, "Jesus!" And when our little girl was crushed in front of me, it was Kyle who heard, I don't remember, Kyle's the one who, because people start, they heard this thing, and then he, my son, heard the way I said, "Jesus," and he froze, and he said, "Something's not good," and he didn't come. And in the airplane with my friend, as we were crash landing, I had about three of those, he's aiming at the runway's here. You know it's not good when all you see is the ground through the windshield. And then he, by God's grace, he hit the runway, and we went sideways. I've never skidded that much in a car, sideways. And the guy in the back, all he could see was trees. And all I just remember is, because, you know, when the planes are skidding, you're leaning. The G-forces are strong in that one. And I'm leaning against the, and I'm like, "Jesus!" That's all I could get out. And so those are my good stories. I want to tell you, what's your gut reaction? What's your first response when stuff is going on? What's your first response in the day? What's your first response when your children are in trouble? What's your first response when finances are hard or life, whatever? What's your first response? And I'm challenging you, let it be prayer. God has given us that gift. He's given us that talent. He's given us that voice to speak to him from our spirit, with our voices, with our minds, to communicate with God. Do you want me to give you 10 lessons or how and so on? Just pray. Call out to God. Get desperate. Parents, you got to get desperate for your kids. What's it going to take to get you to pray for your kids? And I don't just mean little, you know, now and then or when there's a battle. Like, when will you pray for your kids if it's not today? They need us. They need our grandkids. Like, I thought it would end with our kids. It never ends. Now we just got more problems. Sons-in-laws and daughter-in-laws and grandchildren. It's like, God, we pray for them every day. Pray. And the power of prayer. I wanted to use this verse. It's kind of a different angle of it. But Matthew 22, verse 23. Jesus is giving the Pharisees a hard time. And he says this. Your mistake, Jesus replied, because they're challenging him on this, and he says, your mistake is that you don't know the scriptures, and you don't know the power of God. What, they're in a sad place, is what I was trying to get at. These guys, and trust me, they were reading the scripture far more than you and me. And he says to them, you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. And Paul says in Thessalonians later on, he's writing to them, he says, I didn't come with, you know, wise words, you know, lots of speaking. I came with the power of God. Truth and spirit. Truth and spirit. That's what I'm trying to get at. Jesus challenges them. They don't know the scripture. Or if they do know the scripture, it's academic. It's all in the head. And they don't know the power of God. They had one of two errors. They didn't understand what they read. Or they were just reading it academically. And they didn't know the power of it. They didn't know the spirit behind it. And Paul's challenge in Thessalonians was that I came with not just powerful words, but with the Spirit, not just with words, but with the Spirit. It had life. And he says, he goes on, you saw how I lived. So what I'm trying to get at is that Jesus, through his teaching, through the ministry that he shared with his disciples, they were picking up that the power of God, the presence of God, the life of God was by his Spirit, and we tap into it through prayer. We tap into it with communion with God. We tap into him by knowing his word, but also by knowing him, by his Spirit who lives within us, who teaches us how to pray it, who brings the truth to life in us. And we live in that. And I see, you know, the problem with a powerless Christian life, it can be explained in a prayerless Christian life. The problem with a life that is just weak, you know, you can't overcome the devil. Let me leave these notes. You can't overcome the devil. You cannot overcome that sin that grips you. You cannot overcome a situation. You cannot fix your family. You cannot deal with your marriage. It's you need to pray. Prayer is the answer. Prayer is the thing that's going to fix you and fix me. And I'm getting mad because I'm mad at the devil because I sit with people and they have issues and they have problems in their life. And so do I. But when you try to speak to them, they're looking for an experience. They're looking for something to come along. And I'm telling you, God's given you the answer. He's given you prayer. He's given you the ability to call out to God and speak to Him. And through that communion, His power moves in us. Through that speaking with Him, His kingdom comes. He is drawn into our circumstances. God joins with us. And that's what the devil fears. That's what overcomes the enemy, is by our prayer. I got to wrap up. Our prayer is connected to our understanding of who God is. You know, we've talked about in prophecy, the ministry of prophetic comes from a good, solid theological foundation. If you have a good understanding of the Word of God, the gift of prophecy will flow from that. Never contradictory, never moving outside of that. I want to say to you, prayer life also has a good theological basis. When you know God, when you understand God, and I'll just name them. I won't even speak about them. God is personal. He cares about our life. Amen? It's critical to prayer because it means that God is a person we can interact with. Let me just name the titles. He's not only personal, He's loving. Wouldn't be enough if God was just personal, but He's loving and He cares about our circumstance. If God were personal but uncaring or unkind, then prayer might do us more harm than good. But God is not only loving, He's also loving all the time in every situation. So in relation to prayer, it means we can trust Him. We can know that God's desire is best for us. God is powerful. He's omnipotent. It means that God, that no prayer is beyond His ability. There's nothing that God cannot do. We can ask God for anything. He's also all-knowing. It's a good thing as well, because when God knows everything, it means we can trust Him when we pray. That He knows what's best. He's not only powerful, He's not only loving, He's not only personal, but He knows what's best for us. And so I can come to my Father and I can lay out my heart before Him and I can say anything. He's not surprised. He's not taken back when we have questions. He's not overwhelmed. He knows us. And we can come and bring everything. And then we do it in faith because He knows best. And in hearing and responding our prayers, then we are assured that God will do all that's needed based on His attributes. Based on who He is, based on His person, His nature, His love, His power, His knowledge, His wisdom, His holiness, His sovereignty. So what's the answer? It says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Here's the line I was trying to find. The poverty and the powerlessness of the average Christian finds its explanation in the words of James. You have not because you ask not. You don't even bother to ask. That's what he's saying. And I'll end where I started. Prayer is not just words. It comes from the heart. It comes from the inner being. It comes from the depths of our soul. The devil's not afraid of my studies. Come, musicians. He's not afraid of you, your anointing. He's not afraid how loud. He's not afraid how old, young, zealous, man or woman. What puts a fear into the devil is when you and I get on our knees and we cry out, Father, help us. Father, come into my circumstance. Change me. Change the situation. And there's much we could say about it, but I'm telling you, we need to encourage each other in prayer. Last week, Herman spoke on testimony and sharing it and what that means. And I'm saying to you this morning, we need to pray. You need to open your voice to God and pray. You need to speak to God. And there's no formula prayer. Our Father that Jesus taught the disciples lays out a whole pattern of how you honor God and how you pray and how you speak. And that we can preach that another day. But what he's asking for us to do is to pray. Pray for one another. Bring God into the circumstances. That's what makes the devil afraid. That's the only thing that's going to change your circumstances, change your marriage, change your home, change your family, is prayer. Pray. Are you with me? I don't know if you can sing that line, let the heavens be open, let life be spoken. Can you sing that song? And then I'm going to ask you to stand in a moment. Stand. Sorry, you guys are good. Thank you. Stand. And I want us to sing that however it's got life for you. But I'm asking if three of you will come and pray. And if you want to pray for the church, you want to pray for family, you want to pray for salvation, you want to pray, I pray that God would touch your heart this morning. And I'm asking three of you to come and join me right here. And when, as we're singing, I'm going to ask you to pray. So one from over there, I'm stealing from PJ. One from over there, one from over here. Come, don't make me beg. And you can say, well, I'm just new to the church. Do you know how to pray? Pray. Do you have a voice? Do you care about God? Do you care about the kingdom of God? Do you care about lives being lost? Thank you. That's number one. I'll quit talking. Let's sing that. And let life be spoken in here this morning. So I'm waiting for two more to come.